WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie! It's the coolest thing to do. That's why I'm such a star. Step side to side, reach high and low. Wiggle your shoulders and make a pose. Repeat side to side, high and low. Shake your feathers and point your toes. Now say gobble, gobble, gobble.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And in case you didn't figure it out, in case you haven't heard us plugging it for the past 2 weeks, it is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving show. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody that celebrates it. And if you don't, well, happy Thursday. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, we're here. It's Thanksgiving. I hope you're all having a good one, or Turkey Day, or Thursday, I guess. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter machine. You can follow us on Twitch when we're live every Thursday night, twitch.tv/WTRLive. But we're not live now, because it's gobble gobble, wobble wobble. Thanksgiving spectacular time.
I mean, we're live because we're recording this right now, but you know, yeah, when this airs, we will not be live.
Yeah, I mean, because you'll get this probably about 9-10 o'clock in the morning on the Thursday. So hi, hope you're enjoying the morning coffee, I guess.
Morning coffee, lunch, or if you're listening to this after dinner, that's fine too. Or if you're just, you know, chilling and listening to this, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. We're very thankful that you're listening to this show. Because, you know, if you don't listen, then we don't do it. And that's all the fun, happy stuff. So we're here to talk about things. We have a show planned.
That's right. We are 1 week removed from Survivor Series. So we're going to be talking about that today and kind of breaking that down and recapping what happened on that show. If you missed our takeover recap, that is available for download and listening pleasures on the Spotify, the iTunes, and WildTalkRadio.com. So check that out. Brent and Omega joined us as we talked about Takeover War Games, which was quite the show. And Survivor Series did its best to follow up. And I think it about managed it. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We're also going to be doing Tweet of the Week. So you can look forward to that. Not sorry, Brent. Just FYI. So not sorry telling you that in advance.
Hashtag not my fault.
One of us had to do it and I won. Anyway, we also have some news that we're going to get into here in a second. So this is a light, fun show, not doing anything too heavy. So let's jump into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And it's not in our news sheet, but I want to strongly encourage anybody that did not watch it. The Undertaker Stone Cold interview dropped on the WWE Network. I would very, very, very highly recommend it to anybody that's interested in that kind of thing. It's very good. Mm-hmm. Very jealous of it, because damn, that he sounds like he's a really fun interview. But go check it out, because it's really good.
Yeah, it was very fun to watch. Watch it Sunday. You could tell throughout they started to loosen up some more, and by the end you went, I want 2 more hours of this, because they really started telling some really good stories, and you kind of want more.
Yeah, it's like, it was funny. You watch it, and Taker's got a baseball cap on, and it's low over his face. Like, you almost kind of can't see his eyes, depending on the camera angle. And then as he gets more comfortable, the baseball cap starts to come up, and you can see more of his face. So, and yeah, by the end, they were like, they'd had a couple shots by that point. They were loose. They were getting along, and they had to end it. And it's like, wait, no, I want more. Give me more. Because they were telling road stories, right? Which, you know, The Undertaker has epic level road stories, just based on what we were told. You know, there's like 20 more of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
based yeah. on at least mm-hmm. based on what he talked about. And so I'd really love to get a part 2. Is that requestable? Is that a thing? Is anybody going to hear it from WWE that, you know, and Austin that, like, hey, can you get him back and, like, do a part 2? Because I have so many questions coming out of that interview, and I very much want the answers. But unfortunately, I'll probably never get them.
Probably never going to get them.
Which makes me really, really, really sad. Because, yeah. Which means, Rock.
What?
Book the man.
I'm on it.
He does interviews now. Book it. Get on that for 2020.
Okay. I'll get right on that one, Chief.
All right. Now we're really going to do the news, brought to you by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And thankfully, there aren't like any super huge stories that we need to talk about. There is an interesting one that I want to lead off with, just to, if nothing else, get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. And that is the Jim Cornette situation.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know, that aren't aware, Jim Cornette was working with NWA. He was doing commentary. He made a comment on TV that was deemed offensive, and then he left NWA as a result of it. And he's kind of facing some backlash because of it, and then he's kind of come out, and at first he was like, well, it's not that offensive, and then he's since apologized for it.
He's apologized. It's not apologized. It wasn't a very heartfelt apology. He just made his comments, and, you know, he put the spin on it, because that's what Jim Cornette does, and everyone's going after him. But his spin was sort of correct, because he kind of also put some of the heat on the guys at the NWA for not, you know, if they
editing it out,
because if they found it offensive originally, then why was it in the show? Was it a plot to get him out? Or did they not find it offensive, but because of the backlash, they decided to let him go? I'm with him on that side. Should he have said what he said? No.
Yeah, the comment was not the best thing, but it was pre-taped. I think it had been in the can for a month.
At least a month.
When it aired, and so the fact that nobody caught it when it aired, or when they had taped it, nobody caught it in editing. The fact that they let it hit the air. I don't want to defend him, but at the same time, I don't want to say that this is entirely on him, because he did make the comment, but it really does fall on them in this instance that they should have taken it out, especially if they felt after the fact that it was offensive. Like, so it's very clear that they were fine with it up until there was internet backlash, and then they were like, oh no, this is bad, this is terrible, this is offensive, we're gonna let Jim Cornette go because of the backlash. So it's like, he's kind of justified, but he's not kind of justified. It's a crappy situation either way, and he's kind of bearing the brunt of it.
He's gonna deal with it like he's always done in his career. It's Jim Cornette. You take some. He's old school to a nature. Things he says were fine when he grew up. 2019, things that come across his brain that he wants to say aren't the greatest in 2019, because that's just not how he grew up. That's not the language they used back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. It's different now. And he would have to adjust. And in some instances, you just can't adjust because your brain says, this is not offensive. Because back then it wasn't. It was commonplace. And he wasn't being overtly offensive to the common ear. But once you break it down and go, yeah, that you can see that's pretty offensive. But back in his day, it wasn't, because that's just the way things were. I know that sounds weird, but that's life. That's how things are today. Back then it was okay. Now it's not.
And I think, honestly, having heard it, it was said in such a quick manner.
It was comedy.
He was trying to be funny. He was trying to be off the cuff. I don't think it was meant to be offensive.
It wasn't.
Again, I don't want to defend him, but it's like, you just listen to it and there's nothing in there that makes it sound like he was trying to be intentionally offensive or racist or anything like that. But just the way that it came out, the way that it sounds, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, yeah, that's not probably the best thing to say in 2019, but it's not like he dropped any racial slurs or anything like that. So, I mean, it's not to that degree, but it's just, it was a passing comment that got caught. And yeah, it's not the best passing comment. And he's, you know, he's resigned over it. He's apologized. It wasn't a heartfelt apology, but he did apologize. So hopefully he can move on from this and everybody else can move on from this. But it's just, it's a weird, unfortunate situation all the way around, I feel like.
Yeah, it is.
So it sucks. It sucks for him. It sucks for NWA, and it sucks for everybody else, because I feel like NWA is doing a lot of stuff to try and get their feet on the ground and get themselves back under, you know, a certain or get themselves at a level and get their legs back under them. That's what I meant. And so this does not help them.
Yeah, they took the episode down within an hour, and yeah, it's. But check them out on check NWA out on YouTube. It's NWA Power with 3 R's. Power.
Maybe check your commentary closer next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably should be a thing.
Anyway, just a couple quick re-signs for WWE. Nikki Cross has signed a contract extension with WWE, so good for her. And then Lana has signed a contract extension with WWE, so both of them will be sticking around for a while, which is awesome.
It's good news.
And do you want to do the blame Brents?
Let's do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
You know, Brent, can you just leave her alone? I mean, seriously, can you just stop? Ember Moon, a torn Achilles.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She just came back too.
Right, and then she came back, she was back for a few months, and then she got tore her Achilles. They officially confirmed it. She announced it a couple weeks ago on WWE Backstage, the night CM Punk debuted, that she tore it. She could be out up to 6 to 12 to 18 months. No one knows for sure.
It just sucks.
It does suck. But we have one more blame Brent that's not on the list.
Oh?
Tim Stein. Shredded finger.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Oh my God, Tim. Oh my God. In case you don't know what he did, you can go to his Twitter. He was doing something with a table saw, and apparently he tried to saw his finger from nail to base.
Yeah.
So lengthwise.
Yeah.
It sounds extremely painful.
It does. And no one wants, he keeps trying to show the picture to people and no one wants to see him. Like, he asked me, I was like, nope, I don't want to see it. Nope.
Yeah, no, Tim, we're good.
We're good.
Really, we're good. We believe you.
Good. He has a picture, he put a picture of his glove on Twitter at Flames Forums. So yeah. Send him all.
If you want to see it, he'll show it to you.
Yeah, DM him. He'll send you pictures of his finger.
Ask to see Tim Stein's thing.
Hashtag that, people. Hashtag it at Flames Forums.
Unless he's blocked you. Oh, God. We're horrible, 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 awful people. Get better, Tim. We love you. All right, moving on from that. Kind of two interesting ex-WCW pay-per-view notes. AEW is doing a Bash at the Beach styled event, which is getting mixed reviews. Some people are very excited about it. Some people are like,
So
maybe you shouldn't have used the name.
Yeah, since Cody has trademarked it, he's also trademarking Slamboree at some point, I think, or he's at least attempting to, which is another WCW name. The Bash at the Beach event will be like a 9-day affair, is being, I guess, called. It'll feature the live Dynamite event under the Bash at the Beach tagline on the 15th of January. And then it will take you all the way through the Jericho Cruise. The following week, they'll do signings and all this other stuff. So it's a whole Bash at the Beach fan fest type deal, so enjoy it if you're going to the Jerk Cruise, if you're going to the event in Miami. Bash at the Beach, WCW Marks, Lone Jobber, are very excited over this. I'm like, okay, cool, but maybe shouldn't rely on the past, but hey, whatever, it is what it is.
I'm not necessarily one to criticize AEW, mainly because I do not watch the product. But in this instance, for a company that talks a lot about the future and not relying on the past and not relying on specific things from the past, it's a nice homage, I guess, to it. And it's not necessarily reliance. Like, it's cool if you do it, I feel like, once. But if he's going to continue to do it, then how much of it is an homage versus a reliance kind of thing, where you're now turning to that nostalgia to bring people in, which is, you know, kind of what another company gets accused of doing,
but
and sort of poo-pooed for doing.
But AEW does not do that. They do not bring in the Rock and Roll Express. They do not bring in Diamond Dallas Page. They do not bring in Arn Anderson. Anyway, let's move on with the other WCW event that's coming up.
Which I really want to go to. And I'm pissed that I can't go to it. Actually, technically I could, but...
She's being smart about it.
I'm being smart about it because somebody had to do house things and it was a lot of money.
She's being a good adult about things.
I'm being an adult about this. I hate it so much. Like, it really, really, really genuinely sucks. Because WWE has announced and is doing Starrcade here in Duluth, Georgia. So if you're in the Metro Atlanta area or if you're in the region and you want to go to Starrcade, is this Sunday at the Gwinnett Infinite Energy Center. I believe that's what the building's still called. I think tickets are still available on Ticketmaster.com. And what pisses me off about this is that Bray Wyatt is going to be here. First time in 2 or 3 years that he's been here live, and I can't go. And he's fighting Braun in a cage match for the title, is that right?
I don't know, that keeps changing. But we have two official matches that have been announced. Are you ready? Last Man Standing, Rusev, Lashley.
Actually, I would kind of want to see that. I'm not going to lie. Especially after Monday night, I really kind of want to see that.
And then in a fatal four-way for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship is the Kubaki Warriors defending against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Woo! Versus SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. That seems like an awesome match.
Yeah, I'm crying. I'm so crying. Like, I heard that and I was like,
But that brings up another story. Alexa Bliss has been cleared to return to the ring.
Yay! Yeah, she was out with an undisclosed injury. Nobody really knows what it was, but she was out for a little bit, so now she's back. She's cleared, and she's going to be here on Sunday.
She's not bitter at all.
Not bitter. Not bitter at all. No, what pisses me off about it, and I'm just going to rant because I can, because it's my show, and he can cut it out later if he wants, because it's taped, is there's no guarantee Bray's going to be back. There's no guarantee any of them are going to be back. Because what, SmackDown comes back here, I think, in the fall? What we were talking about last night?
Maybe, possibly. We know when Raw's coming back, not SmackDown, so yeah.
Yeah, we know when SmackDown's coming. And it's so rare that they bring, like, a pay-per-view here now because of the incidents at Hell in a Cell? Or was it Survivor Series? It was one of them that they did a pay-per-view here, and they were like, never again. We pissed them off so bad. They were like, never.
We out.
So yeah. So I want to go. I really want to go. So if you're in the Atlanta area, or if you're in the tri-state area, or you're nearby and you want to go to Starrcade, please go. Please buy tickets. Please enjoy it. And please take lots of pictures of Bray Wyatt and send them to me. Thanks. Moving on. I think that does it for all our WWE news. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Fortnite.
Transitioning. Fortnite Battle Royale, the ultimate Battle Royale experience.
And that is that Chapter 2, Season 1, is getting an extension. It's not ending when we thought it was, ladies and gentlemen. Oh no, we thought it was ending next month because there's about 2 more weeks in the Battle Pass. So everybody's like, oh yeah, it's going to end mid-December and then they're going to go into Season 2 or Chapter 2, Season 2. You know, that's what they're going to do. Oh no, 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 no. We're going to get holiday challenges.
Yay, all the way to February.
That's right. Season 1 is going to last till February, which I find very interesting that they're going to do that. And I can see like extending it past the holidays and getting it past Christmas and past New Year's and then launching season two in the new year. But it's interesting that they're taking it all the way to February, which makes me wonder how much they have out there for challenges and everything else. Because normally they're very on the pulse about seasons and the battle passes and everything else. Like that's kind of how they make their money. And they're not doing that.
They're not. So what I'm thinking is they're going on vacation probably from the 20th or 21st. Until probably the first, maybe even into the second, I guess, maybe even the third week.
Second week.
I was going to say, I'm not counting, like, because the first week starts on a Wednesday. So the week of the 5th, they're probably off, or they come back later in that week. So they're off a little bit longer than last time, because last time there were some problems, and they had to call people in, they did some things, and all that yada, yada, yada stuff. So
which is why I think they pushed it back this year.
I think they're giving them a little extended time. Then they'll probably run a Winter Royale or something for the pros. And I think the season's supposed to end either the 6th or the 13th of February. So it's not all the way through February. It's the first or second week in February. So it's not that extended. It's extended about by 6 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of the season, they just, this go around, launched a brand new map and a brand new experience for everybody. So I think they're still trying to let everybody get used to it before they make changes or do anything else to the game, because they've got it in, at least in my opinion, a really good place right now. They could fix Team Rumble where it's not so goddamn sweaty. But
at times it's very sweaty.
Oh my God, after 10 o'clock at night, you can't go into it because it's so sweaty. But other than that.
Hashtag facts.
Huh?
Hashtag facts.
Hashtag facts. But I mean, I feel like the game, especially the way that it's playing right now, the way that they've got the player-based matchmaking set up or the skill-based matchmaking set up, I feel like all of that's really, really good and it's really helpful to the game. It's made it fun again. I would like a little bit more mobility in the game. I mean, it's like getting around with the water and the boats and the zip lines. That's great. But just to have like maybe one other vehicle, either like the hoverboards back or a baller or all those little cool like cars that are sitting around everywhere, that would be nice.
Give me the lawnmower.
Oh my God, yes, the lawnmower. Yes. Yes, I think that was my biggest disappointment of season two was when I found the lawnmower track and I was like, but I want to ride it.
Want to do stupidity with the lawnmower.
To have lawnmower races. You don't understand. I'm Southern.
If you haven't seen our content forever with Fortnite with Friends, we love the shopping cart. Like, that was our favorite thing and we do stupid tricks with it. And yeah, give me the lawnmower. That'd be fun to do stupid tricks with. Just saying.
And it's not like, you know, it's quiet, so people would hear you coming. Or it moves fast, but it is what it is. But yeah, so this is a very, very interesting development in terms of the season. And that could mean that they're going to do less seasons this go round, and they could take it down from what? Like, I think it was 6 seasons?
Ten,
no.
There was 10.
Right, no, but in terms of how many seasons were in a year.
Oh.
Was it 5?
Probably 5.
5-6 seasons in a year. I think they're going to take that down to probably 3 or 4 seasons in a year, maybe.
Right, and maybe they'll extend the battle pass and make more than 100 tiers or whatever. And I think maybe that's why they're getting everyone, you know, used to going and grinding for it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. If they extend the battle pass, if they extend the seasons, I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that. As long as I have something to do, the game is fun to play. But when you don't have anything to do and you're just playing the game to play the game, it's like, I'm not really into that.
But hey, they brought back daily challenges.
They did. They brought back dailies to get us in there to do them because they're like, hey, nobody's going in when there's no battle pass challenges. So maybe we should
give
do
them,
something with that.
Give them something to do.
Because it's like the punch card is cool.
I love that. I actually love the punch card.
I like the idea of the punch card, but if you don't play the game regularly, it's kind of a waste. So it's like, what's funny is like I said to Rock, I think like a week before they did it or a couple days before they did it, it's like, I really miss daily challenges.
She did. She legit said that. That is a true story.
Like, I missed the daily challenges, and then they brought them back, and I was like, yay! So, because it gave me something to do to go in the game and try to achieve.
Try to.
Yeah. Hey.
What?
I'm good. I'm doing good with it.
She's doing really good this season.
Kind of. So anyway, that does it for the news. I say we take our first break of the podcast, and when we come back, we're going to do Tweet of the Week and Survivor Series.
Sounds good.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Saturday night, November 30th. CB Radio experiences a decade plus two. Join the entire gang as we dive into some of the biggest moments in CB Radio history.
Today, we are going to get everything out of these files and into the open. Toby, by the way, what does redacted mean? There is a file sitting here marked redacted.
Yeah, it just means whoever complained came to me later and went, so I took their name off.
It's CB Radio decade plus two. November 30th, midnight-ish Eastern. CBRadioLive.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and Twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Thank you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special. And, you know, you guys have downloaded this, you're listening to this, so thank you so much. I still hope you're having a great Thanksgiving or you're having a great Thursday either way. And, well, it's the second half, and you know what that means.
More turkey?
Time. Huh?
More turkey?
More booze. And turkey. Sure, let's do turkey. And booze. Why not? More all the things. Let's just do all the things. But no, now it is time for the tweets portion of the show.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, so I have to read this tweet because it did not age well. Some of these did not age well anyway. But I have to read it anyway because technically one of these is not wrong. And that is Pete Dunne tweeted out the day of Survivor Series, Adam Cole is dead. I win by default.
I mean, that would have been great for our fantasy team if it was true.
I mean, he's not wrong, but I just have to say this about Adam Cole. Like, MVP of the weekend.
Which we'll talk about here in a moment.
Which we're going to talk about here in a moment, but good God. Well done, Adam. Well done. Up next, Dr. Lupo.
It's Lupo, man.
Because it is Thanksgiving. If you don't like turkey at Thanksgiving, it's mostly because whoever cooked it decided to turn it into the driest, chalky, dustiest meat known to man. They clearly have a weak bloodline and cannot be trusted. I only tweet facts. Accept it. Again, not wrong. Now, these are all Tim the Tatman.
Yeah, yeet.
And this is the progression of being a Cowboys fan on a Sunday.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
It's completely not sorry, Brent. Because if you don't know, the Cowboys played the Patriots. And actually, technically, I believe this was on a Thursday.
No, Sunday. It was Sunday afternoon.
Okay, it was Sunday. All right. Cool. Tim the Tatman, November 23rd. The Cowboys are going to upset the Patriots tomorrow. Remember this tweet.
Oh, we remember.
Oh, we remember. He follows that up on Sunday with, I love football Sunday. After the Cowboys beat the Patriots, be sure to check out the new YouTube video that just went live. I wouldn't normally promote somebody else's stuff, but that first part. Then we go into the actual game.
Progression.
Cowboys are still going to win this game. Ninja tweets out, rematch game 2 versus Tim the Tatman. Looks like it could be a close one, and it's a picture of their fantasy football. And Ninja has 151.20 points. Tim has 61.22 points.
That one's not even close. Close. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Ninja's phone is about to die, just based on the
battery. Charge it!
Speaking of
Ninja, coming soon, the Rack Extra reviews Ninja, the most dangerous game, available next week. Go buy the book. Also, Reef Q coming soon, probably next week too. RackRadioShow.com. Yeet.
Ding.
Yeah, and yes, I held up the book to the non-existent camera.
Also, stay tuned for the Kane book review as well.
Hold on.
Get them both in there.
Holding it up to the non-existent camera, and done.
Are you doing the Vanna White hands?
I did.
Okay.
Non-existent camera. There's no camera.
Yeah. So, all right. Typical Cowboys start here. Not worried about it. They will win. Solid first half. Can't wait to watch the Cowboys dominate the second half. Why are we kicking a field goal right now? This drive right here is the moment. I can feel it. Time for the Cowboys to beat the Patriots. LOL, that wasn't tripping. Trash call.
Which, by the way, the NFL has said was an incorrect call.
So he's not wrong. I still can't believe that we kicked a field goal instead of going for a touchdown. Holy shit, being a Cowboys fan is hard.
Yep.
Can't be that mad. I guess it's hard to beat the Patriots and the refs.
Hashtag
facts. You can figure out they're losing by this point.
Yep.
1 second left with the GIF. So you're telling me there's a chance. And last but certainly not least, that tripping call lost the Cowboys the game. Changed my mind.
Again, the NFL has stated those calls were incorrect. Also, Tom Brady is getting really old. Not going to lie, after playing them, he's not as good as he once was. He's beatable, yet two teams couldn't beat him because they have no offense.
Cowboys came close.
So did the Eagles. Neither team could do it.
You know, the Eagles just needed gritty.
I mean, at this point, we could take anyone. God.
Gritty would bring the guards, and then you guys would, you know, have three.
Gritty! He's a great fellow.
He is a great fellow. He's a lot of fun. And I don't understand this tweet, but he said, "Hallelujah, it raining diapers."
Who said that?
Gritty. I don't know. And then he did a gender reveal that's, "I am not the father."
Oh, because of that would make sense. They were doing a gender reveal at the stadium, at the arena. I remember seeing that. That makes sense. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Will Friedle, you know, Eric Matthews. "Hey, King Ricochet, I think you stole my suit. Hashtag welcome to my world. Ricochet, as someone who's seen Boy Meets World all the way through multiple times, this is the highlight of my day. Also, not stole, inspired by."
He's so cute.
Will replies, "Ha, thanks. You've earned the suit. Now I need a play with squirrels." I love play with squirrels. He goes, "All right," with crying and laughing emojis. We need to see that. Do it, Ricochet. Do it. And finally, Scott Stanford. "This kid facing Eric Rowan, I believe, was having a lemonade sale on my street earlier today. Hashtag Raw Chicago." She had the better tweets. He won't get funny till like end of the midweek. It sucks. It does. It's when all the good content comes. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
All right, so now we are going to talk about Survivor Series, which aired this past Sunday on the WWE Network. This was a tri-branded event as Raw, NXT, and SmackDown all went head-to-head-to-head to see who was the supreme brand.
It was for the battle for brand supremacy.
And
because they drove that over the top so many times.
They just, for whatever reason, somebody has to be the top, even though we kind of already know who's the top, but... Anyway, they had to decide it on a pay-per-view because something has to be on the line. And so it was brand supremacy this go-around. I like that they included NXT in this, that it wasn't just Raw versus SmackDown. You had everybody represented. You had a nice mix of talent on this show. And in the end, I believe the correct brand won, which shows that Triple H probably booked this show. Because in case you didn't hear, NXT won.
But how did NXT win? Let's tell you. It started off with a cross-branded over-the-top rope battle royale.
Featuring the ultimate battle royale experience?
Yes. Featuring the OC, the Revival, the Forgotten Sons, Rude and Ziggler, the Street Profits, Ryder and Hawkins, Breezango, making their way back to main television, Lucha House Party, Imperium, and Heavy Machinery. This all came down to Rude and Ziggler against the Street Profits. Good. This was a very enjoyable battle royale. It was confusing with the rules because it's cross-branded over-the-top rope battle royale. When one member of the team was eliminated, the entire team was gone. So it meant for some awkward moments. But in the end, it was Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler getting smacked down on the board.
I have to say this. I wasn't terribly fond of... when one person got eliminated, both were out. I don't really like that. Because, I mean, it's not like they didn't have the time on the pre-show to do a full battle royale kind of thing. I mean, so that's not my favorite concept, because then you're like trying to pull people out of the match because the partner got eliminated. It's like, just let them fight and let them be eliminated. And then the whole team's out. Like, that's not fair that some one person has to come out because the other one got chucked out of the ring. Like, it's kind of a little stupid. That's just me. So it's like, why not just let them fight? But in the end, Rude and Ziggler were the winners. Montez Ford's face kind of said everything about the end of this match. I don't know why, but it was like really, really telling, where it was like half disbelief, half anger.
Yeah.
Like, it again, Montez Ford's face says everything just right there. I felt kind of bad for them. I kind of wanted them to win.
So did I. Go ahead.
But I liked how they had Imperium in there. I liked how they're bringing in the NXT UK talent in addition to the regular NXT talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice touch.
It was for the Cruiserweight Championship. Leo Rush defending against Tozawa and Kalisto. This was another battle for brand supremacy with Byron Saxton on commentary, along with Aiden English, who did not know the name of a Spanish fly. Now I call shenanigans for Byron Saxton not knowing what a Spanish fly is. Want to know why? I'll tell you. Because I was playing WWE 2K20 the other day.
Oh no.
Live on Twitch.
Oh no.
Twitch.tv/WTLive. And he called the move the Spanish fly in the video game.
Maybe he didn't know what it was in person?
But he called it in the video game.
Well, but the video game's different.
Oh, yeah, the video game's way different. But it took them 2.5 minutes and realized what the name of the move was because someone had to tell them in their ear. Match was fine. Leo Rush won with the final hour. putting NXT on the board. But yeah, they didn't know the name of the Spanish Fly. Also, we see way too many Spanish Flies for people not to know the name of the goddamn move.
He's a little bitter about the Spanish
Fly. I am. Also, stop doing the Spanish Fly. We've seen it too many times.
All right. On to the main show.
No, there's still one more pre-show.
Oh, that's right. There is.
The Battle of Tag Teams, which, by the way, this could be considered match of the night. Because this was really, really, really good. It was Raw's Viking Raiders against the New Day from SmackDown and the Undisputed Era from NXT.
I just assumed it was so good it was already on the main show. I mean, but yeah, this, I need more of this. And the reason why I need more of this in my life is when you get three teams that are tag team specialists, experts, whatever you would like to term what all three of these teams are, magic absolutely happens. Because people think, and we've all made the assumption that it's like you just put two guys together and there is a tag team. You know, they're a tag team. They know what they're doing. There's an actual art form to it that in some cases I feel like is getting lost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases it's being revived because it's like you see Undisputed Era, you see Viking Raiders, you see New Day that are keeping it alive. You know, the revival, they're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Where there are guys who they have just decided, I'm going to be a tag team wrestler. This is what I'm good at. And this is all I want to do. Like, I think everybody wants to be that world champion, but there are just some guys who are naturally inclined to be tag team wrestlers. They've embraced it, and here they are. You know, Eric and Ivar, Fish and O'Reilly, and then Kofi and Big E with Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know, could you technically count New Day as a tag team? Because technically they're a trio.
They are a tag team.
They're like Freebird
style. They're Freebird style tag team, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, their gear was the Get Well card for Xavier Woods, which is nice.
It was so cute. It's so sweet.
But yeah, this was a really good match. Really fun. Really enjoyable. Viking Raiders got on the board for Monday Night Raw with the victory. Didn't think that'd be the only victory for Raw. But, well, we'll tell you what happens later.
Yeah.
So we're all tied up heading into the main show. My phone goes off. It is the Women's Survivor Series Elimination Match. Monday Night Raw's Captain Charlotte, Sarah Logan, Natalya, Asuka, and Kairi Sane against SmackDown's Captain Sasha Banks, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross against NXT's Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Toni Storm, Candice LeRae, and Bianca Belair.
Okay, so I have to compliment SmackDown and NXT for taking the time to coordinate their gear to their brand colors. Well done, ladies. Well done, Raw. I'm disappointed in the Raw ladies that they did not make the same effort as the other two.
They had armbands. It was fine.
It was not fine. Everybody else on that show made sure that they were dressed appropriately for their brand. Like, the Raw women could not be bothered.
Like, legit.
At all.
Like, legit, Candace and Bianca had NXT all over their gear.
They did. Like, Candace actually had NXT gear made.
Same with
so Bianca. So did Bianca.
Yeah.
That, you know, was black and gold and had the logo on it. Even Rhea was wearing, like, I think a little bit of black and gold. She at least had on all black.
She had all black. I think she was wearing the We Are NXT t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Io wore her yellow and black gear. And the SmackDown women, they were all in blue. All of them had blue gear. Even Bayley. Bayley had, like, blue gear made for this crap.
But she was later. She wasn't in the tag match.
I know, but just as an example,
yeah,
like, Bayley's gear is yellow and black. She had blue and white made specifically for this night. Becky had red and black gear made specifically for this night.
Mm-hmm.
Shayna was wearing black and gold. The Raw women's team could not be bothered. They just couldn't do it. Like,
hell, even the men were wearing black and red for stuff.
Yeah, and blue and white, or some variation of blue, or black and gold. Like, like, what? They didn't even match.
Yeah, but they had their armbands. They had their armbands. Maybe, here's what happened. They probably thought we're coming in, they were all going to have to wear the stupid t-shirts. So it didn't matter. But no, they gave them armbands instead, because everyone on the internet complains about the t-shirts.
Well, I mean, they are a bit much, but yeah.
Especially last year when Seth Rollins had a custom shirt where it's half red, half black.
Because he just was like, no.
No, I'm not going full Raw. I'm going half my own brand, goddammit.
I'm Seth freaking Rollins, and that's what I do.
That's what I do.
But yeah, so like, I had to laugh at that because there was a supreme effort made by two of the three teams, and the third team was just like, we're just gonna show up.
Also, Dana Brooke, go.
Dana Brooke has good gear. I'm so happy. I was never like, she was like always one thing away from having really nice gear. But there was something that always was like, oh, that's just really unfortunate. She has good gear now. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. She came out and it's like, oh, she looks so nice. Yay. Finally.
By the way, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, she always just looked, like, she always looked pretty, but just her gear, there was something about her gear that just never suited her and looked weird.
By the way, I would assume Tegan Knox would have had great black and gold gear as well, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think Dakota Kai would have too, but
something
happened. I'm a little hazy, but I'm pretty sure somebody kicked somebody else in the face and the knee, and you know used a cage as a weapon the night before, and there were, I think, what, 36 knee stomps,
something like that.
Something like that, you know, and one best friend betrayed another, and it's just awful.
Cue incoming tweet when they listen to this part of the podcast and go.
Not sorry. But yeah, this match was really, really good. It the one thing I hate about this pay-per-view, especially the way that they did it this go round, is now there are so many one-on-ones that I want that I will never have because they will never be on the same show. And it makes me very sad. Like, I want Bianca versus the world.
Bianca versus Charlotte was yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want Bianca and Sasha. There was not nearly enough Bianca and Sasha interaction in that match. I wanted more of it. And I'm really sad I didn't get it.
Give me more Asuka and Io. Give me more Rhea and Charlotte. Give me...
Oh, Asuka and Io. Yeah. No. Kari and Io. When Kari and Io got in the ring together and Dana's just standing, or no, it was Mella.
No, it was Dana. You're right.
It was Dana. Dana's just standing there watching these two sort of like posture at each other and she's like, hello.
No, that was Carmella. Then Dana just stood there and watched.
Yeah, it's like, Dana, get out of the ring. Get out of the ring.
Yeah.
Honey, I love you, but get out of the ring and just let them fight.
Yeah. Carmella wanted, hey, it's me. And then she got kicked in the face and Dana was like, I'm just going to let them fight. I'm just going to stand back here. I'm just standing in the corner and just watch.
Yeah, she saw what was going on and she's like, okay, all right. No, because it was Io and Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
They were going at each other. And it's like, yeah, Carmella's like, hello. It's like, just let them go. Let them go. Just get back on the apron and just let them go. Let them fight. Don't get in the middle of that.
All right, so quickly go through it. Io and Candice were taking out this matchup after a big smaz and with all the people doing their moves due to injury. Bianca eliminated Nikki. Bianca eliminated Sarah Logan. Charlotte eliminated Carmella. Sasha eliminated Kairi. Asuka eliminated Dana. Lacey eliminated Charlotte after the miss from Asuka. Natty eliminated Lacey. Natty and Sasha eliminated Toni Storm, winning a double submission, which was really cool. Sasha got rid of Bianca. Sasha then got rid of Natty, leaving it to Rhea and Sasha as the final two. Io and Candice got back into the matchup, helping Rhea get the win for NXT.
I think Rhea versus the world. Sasha would be a very interesting feud.
Oh, would. It would be really good.
But yeah, Rhea versus the world was another one. Like, I feel like Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair got made this weekend.
Especially Rhea.
Especially Rhea. Like, I think the point of having NXT on this show and doing TakeOver the way they did TakeOver was they were looking to make stars on all three brands, but really on NXT. They're looking to build more names and have more names on that show that people recognize. And by having them on the main show, by having them show up on Fox, by having them show up on Raw, on USA, you're doing that. You're getting people to recognize them. And it's like, if they like Rhea or Bianca or Keith Lee or Adam Cole or anybody else that showed up during this whole process, it's like, hey, they're over on USA on Wednesday nights. You can watch them then. And that was a really clever way to get people's names out there. But yeah, this was, I wish they had let Toni Storm do a little bit more because I love Toni. And like, she got featured, but it's like she kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. Same with Candice. Candice got a little lost in the shuffle, but I'm pretty sure Candice was probably a little beat up. Same thing with Rhea. A
little bit.
From, you know, the night before. Same thing for Bianca. Like, all of them that were in the War Games match were probably a little bit more beat up than the others. So they were not in the ring a lot.
We move on to the next matchup. It was the battle of the secondary champions, the U.S. champion AJ Styles, Intercontinental champion Shinsuke Nakamura, and North American champion Roderick Strong battled. Great match. Fun.
Oh God, this was so good.
Exciting. Best Shinsuke match in a long time. AJ came to play. Roderick was Roderick. And he got the win, surprisingly, putting NXT up 3-1-1.
They're off to an early lead.
It made me wonder about the rest of the night, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess they're done because they're up 3-1-1. But yeah, you know what? Honestly, I almost forgot about the brand supremacy stuff because the first, like, a lot of the matches on this show were really, really phenomenally good. And it's like, you just really don't kind of care about the fact that they're, oh, you know, who's the best brand? It's like, you know what? Just give me the good wrestling. Just give it to me all night long. Just, yes, all the things. Just keep giving it to me.
Speaking of all night long, it is for the NXT Championship, Adam Cole against Pete Dunne.
Jesus, talk about good. Holy crap.
Two men came in beat up, sore, battered, bruised, sold their injuries well. This was a hell of a match.
Considering that Adam Cole died for his sins the night before.
This was really good.
This was phenomenally good. Like, it's Pete Dunne and Adam Cole, right? They're going to have a good match either way because they're just that talented. But you couple that with the fact that Adam has been wrestling. He's been showing up on Raw. He's been showing up on SmackDown. He did TakeOver the night before along with Pete Dunne. You know, they were both in War Games.
Hold on.
Or no, Adam was in War Games. Pete did a really brutal number one contenders match.
Oh, you're forgetting what happened Wednesday on NXT. He did a ladder match.
And he did a ladder match on top of all of that. Like, Adam Cole is the MVP of the Survivor Series.
Of the
if
month.
If not the year because of this week.
At least a month. He's been doing everything, having 5-star matches with everyone he's been in the ring with. He's battling through a hand injury, like a wrist injury, whatever you want to call it. He's out there stealing the show every time he's on TV, and it's fantastic to watch. And the counter he did to end this match, whew. But before that, the Panama Sunrise on the hardest part of the ring.
Oh my God, that was epic. Mm-hmm. That was just epic. Like, you just sat there. We all sat here and watched it, and we're like,
ooh, crap.
It's like, damn. Although I saw a tweet and I wasn't able to grab it in time before my Twitter feed refreshed, but somebody was like, I want to know what the softest part of the ring is. Because they always say it's on the hardest part of the ring. It's like, where's the soft part? Because I'm pretty sure there's nothing soft in that ring. Like, it's all hard. So, is it really? I mean, I guess technically it would be the hardest.
It is the hardest part of the ring because that's where the, you know, the metal surrounding is with the wood. So it is the hardest part of the ring.
Yeah, but still, it's like, where's the softest part? I guess it's the mat, because it technically does have a little bit of padding on it, but...
It does have a little bit of padding on it.
It's like, okay, all right. But anyway, yeah, I saw that and I just had to laugh. But this match was so good.
So Adam Cole retains his NXT championship.
Battered ribs and all, because he came out with his ribs taped, like we called it on the recap show. And yeah, Adam Cole turned in a stellar performance, and hopefully he gets to go home and take a nap now and
he
rest.
He can't. He has Wednesday night TV.
I know, but at least hopefully he got to leave yesterday or Sunday night or yesterday morning or Monday morning or whenever and like fly down and rest.
Hopefully. Then it was the Universal Championship. Red light time. Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan. Very enjoyable.
These two are always going to be good when they mix it up. Mm-hmm. Like, always, there's no question.
We got the return of the yes. Daniel Bryan finally did it. He did the yes chance.
He did. He absolutely did. He did the yes chance. And I think what was annoying to me, and it's not so much annoying because I understand people are tired of it, or they're not a fan of it, or they don't like it, or whatever, was people complaining about the red light match, or the red lights.
Before
and how the light,
it even started.
Before it started, people were like, oh, this is the bathroom break match, because, you know, there's the red lighting. You have Daniel Bryan and you have Bray Wyatt in the ring, and you're calling it a bathroom break match because of some stupid red lights.
So disrespectful.
It's like, come on, dude. Like, I'm not crazy about the red lights. After a while, it gets a little difficult to see. I respect that. It hurts your eyes after a while, especially for the longer matches that he's doing now. Like, the first time it was cool, right? It was Hell in a Cell. It was red. it was the first time we'd seen The Fiend in a match setting. So it's like, yeah, this is really, really stinking cool. But, you know, as it progresses, people are, it's becoming less enchanting because it's like, it's going to happen every time now. And so we're like, yeah, okay, it's not my favorite thing, but The Fiend itself is still really cool. And the FYI, the reason why they do it is if you look at The Fiend under the regular lighting, there's a lot of flaws in what you see versus the red lighting. It covers that up, which is why they're doing it, is it makes the presentation of The Fiend that much better.
Could they use a different type of lighting? Yeah. Could they just go all dark and just put a spotlight on them? Yeah. But they decided to go with red, and that's where they're at.
I mean, will it continue? I don't know. But yeah, that was a little annoying about that, you know, people were like complaining about, you know, oh, you know, it's the red lighting, so I'm going to go to the bathroom or I'm not going to watch because it's stupid. And that's their opinion and I respect their opinion. But at the same time, this was a very, very good match. It started hot. Brian, like, didn't even wait for Bray to get his jacket off. Brian just, like, went for it the second the bell rang.
He did.
And just, like, kneed Bray in the face, which I applaud wholeheartedly. I love it when they do stuff like that because it's like, yay! It's not a lockup.
Bray's chest must be hurting because he took so many kicks.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We're going to talk about chest hurting in a little bit. But yeah, Brian just absolutely tried to beat the crap out of Bray. And unfortunately, he came up short. And Bray Wyatt has retained the WWE Championship. So he is and still your champion. By the way, thank you for WWE for finally getting a picture of him with the blue title. I need it for reasons.
Reasons.
But thank you. If I could get one of Shinsuke with the IC title, that'd be great. But yeah, Bray wins. He's still your champion. It's not a terrible surprise that he won. I think it's pretty much accepted that Bray will be the champion going into WrestleMania, and barring injury,
he'll be your champion.
Yeah, barring injury or catastrophe or whatever, Bray Wyatt will be the champion going into WrestleMania. But in the meantime, they're doing a wonderful job of keeping him relevant, of really protecting him as a champion, because you're not getting to see the title a lot, but you're getting to see it enough, which is what the problem with Brock Lesnar is you don't get to see the title enough, and therefore people forget about it or get annoyed whenever he shows up. Bray is present. The title is present. It's there with him in the funhouse. It's there when The Fiend comes out. By the way, I do have one slight complaint.
Okay.
Can he not wear the title around his face?
Well, you know,
because he, and the only reason I say that is because he came out, right? And there's the lantern, you know, or there's the lighting, and they altered his entrance slightly too. He has a little bit more lighting now, or slightly different lighting, especially when he gets in the ring. They were projecting stuff in the ring for him this time. But he comes out, right, and the lantern goes on, and there's the gross head lantern that we all have come to know and some of us love. And
which you can buy, by the way.
Which you can buy now, by the way. They have mass produced it. It's $100 at shows. Coming to shop, I'm sure, very soon. And so anyway, he walks out and they zoom in on him, and there's Bray in his body with the lantern, and then all of a sudden you just see bling of the WWE title or the Universal title. It's like there's all the diamonds just sparkling and shining like they should, being absolutely beautiful. And then all you see are these two beady little eyeballs sticking out from behind the title with this mess, like this mop of hair. It's like, no, honey, don't wear it like that. Don't put it on your face. Like, I'm not saying you have to wear it. You know, he doesn't have to wear it around his waist because that would just be stupid. It doesn't go with his outfit at all. He's all red and the title's blue. But don't wear it on your face. I have to say that to Kari Sane, dude. Don't wear it on your face. Like, if you want to drag it behind you, that's fine. But don't wear it on your face. I hate it when people do that. I really do. Because then it's like all it looks like you have for head is a title.
So there you go on that one. Up next, it is the Men's Survivor Series Elimination Matchup. Rollins, Orton, Ricochet, Owens, and McIntyre taking on SmackDown's Reigns, Corbin, Ali, comma Mustafa, Shorty G, Braun Strowman taking on NXT's Matt Riddle, Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Walter, and Damian Priest.
Love that Walter was in this match.
Didn't love he was eliminated in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my one complaint about this match. I think that's my one complaint about a lot of people, from a lot of people about this match, is Walter should have been in this for a lot longer, especially considering the fact that he is the NXT UK champion. He should have been one of the last ones in it. He really should have, because I swear to God, he took somebody's nipple off in the first 2 minutes of this match.
True.
From chops. Mm-hmm. And I mean, who was it? It was him and...
McIntyre.
It was him and McIntyre. Oh my God, McIntyre's chest and Walter's chest after they were done chopping each other. Like, good Lord.
So to quickly run through it, McIntyre got rid of Walter. Owens got rid of Shorty G. Ciampa got rid of Owens, which is a little bit of a surprise. Orton got rid of Damian Priest. Riddle got rid of Randy Orton. Corbin got rid of Riddle. Braun got counted out. Corbin eliminated Ricochet. Rollins eliminated Ali. Roman eliminated McIntyre. Ciampa got rid of Corbin, thanks to Roman. Then it led to Rollins getting rid of Tommaso Ciampa. Keith Lee got rid of Seth Rollins, as it was Keith Lee versus Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins at the end. But almost after two really close three counts, like there was one on the Keith Lee spot. It was one, two. You heard the mat slap for three, but he got his shoulder up at the 2.99999.
Barely got it up.
But in the end, one more spear from Roman Reigns gets rid of Keith Lee to give SmackDown their second victory.
I need Tommaso Ciampa versus Seth Rollins in my life. I need that so hard. I need Keith Lee versus the world.
Keith Lee versus Roman would be good.
Like, again, the mission was to make people this weekend. I feel like they did that and more in this match as well. Some of the eliminations were very interesting. Again, I really feel like Walter should have been in the match longer. That's just my opinion, though. Just because I would love, like, just having seen what Walter can do. Yeah. Especially Walter versus Braun. Good God, I need that. I so need that. Can somebody please make that happen? Because they got in the ring together and it's like, dude, yes. Yes. All the yes. And then Keith Lee hopped in there and it's like, yep, I'm on board for this. I'm so on board for this. Somebody sign me up, please. Just everybody else leave. Just give me this. All of this. And that's why I hate the show, because it made me want things that I will never have. And I'm very upset. But because there are a couple other things that happen that it's like, oh, it would be so good. And maybe one day they'll happen, but not right now. But yeah, this match was good. I liked this match. I liked how they had a lot of the quick eliminations, and then they really got down to the people that they wanted in the match, and so they slowed it down a little bit, and we got a really good, essentially, like, four-way or triple threat there for a while.
Yeah, it was really good.
The only thing was, with all the quick eliminations, it was hard to keep track of who was still in the match.
Yep, that's why I took notes.
Because it's like, wait, is that person still in? Wait, because I think at one point we're like, wait, is Tommaso still out there? Who's still out there from NXT? Because at one point it got down to like Keith Lee, and he was the only one that you saw. And you're like, is Tommaso still there? I think Tommaso's still there. And he was, but he was on the outside.
I had to go back through my notes. I was looking through everything.
Because we were trying to figure out who was still in the match and who wasn't. So it's like, okay, all right. Because for a second it's like, wait, they're just down to Keith Lee. So I guess NXT's done? Because Keith Lee got eliminated, right? No.
No, Keith Lee was the final one. Raw got eliminated. Raw was out. It was down to SmackDown versus NXT.
That's right. So yeah, so it was like I said, it was hard to keep track of everybody. But given what happened on Raw Monday night with Seth Rollins harping on everybody, honey, you're not one to talk. Only two people from Raw won at Survivor Series, and that was the Viking Raiders. Like, they're the only ones that showed up for Raw and represented. Just throwing that out there. I don't feel like Seth Rollins has the right to, like, get up and lecture anybody. If anybody gets to do the lecturing, it's the Viking Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, we won. What about the rest of you, huh?
Huh? What'd y'all do? Y'all lost.
Also, you know, maybe not admonishing people and, you know, motivational speaking would get Seth farther than yelling at people, but that's just me. Anyway, what's the next match?
WWE Championships Online. Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio. No holds barred. The battle over the pipe.
And Dominic.
So it was the Mysterio's beating down Lesnar for a while, and it was like, oh my God, are they going to actually do it? And then, no, he got up, he destroyed Dominic, F5 Rey Mysterio, and retained his title.
It was really sad because at one point they had Brock down, right? Rey and Dominic had Brock down. Rey lays on top of Brock to pin him, and Dominic, like, lays on top of his father to help use his weight to hold Brock down, and Brock still kicks out and flings them both off of him. And it's like, oh, this is going to end so bad. This is going to be so, so bad. And it was. It really was. It was not Rey Mysterio's night at all. And much to many people's chagrin, Brock Lesnar is still the WWE champion. Which I still maintain he should not be because he quit.
He quit SmackDown. He didn't quit
but
WWE.
But that doesn't mean he gets to take their title.
He didn't quit being champion. He didn't throw down the title. He didn't want to be a part.
Brand. You quit the brand. You de facto quit being champion.
He should have gotten to bring
their title with him. I'm sorry. That's not how this works. You quit. It's like he may not have overall quit WWE, but let's be completely honest. The way that they're setting this up is WWE is like the parent company. It's the umbrella over Raw and SmackDown. So if you quit SmackDown, you still technically work for the parent company, but you're quitting your core job. So, you know, that doesn't mean that, like, you get to take certain things like titles with you to Raw. Like, I understand that they had to because they had a problem because they put the Universal title on Bray Wyatt after they drafted him to SmackDown. Like, I get that there was a problem and that was the solution. But again, I still maintain Brock Lesnar should not be champion because he quit his job. And when you quit your job, it doesn't get to come with you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Which is presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. All right, main event. Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler, and Bayley in the final battle of supremacy for brands. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to kind of agree with a lot of people on this. All three of these girls got screwed in the main event because everybody else got a stip or got something, and they just got a straight up wrestling match, which in reality, actually, this could have gotten a lot more violent than it did because it was a triple threat, and therefore it was by default, I believe, a no DQ.
But everyone else got the bells and whistles. Everyone else had the opportunity to do other things. This matchup, from a technical standpoint, was fine. It was very solid. That's what it was. It was a solid wrestling match that was not a main event. This match could have been put on the middle of the show and would have been perfectly acceptable. Especially with the numbers wise, I know they wanted NXT the end of the night with Shayna winning, and that's how that went. That's fine. That's perfectly acceptable. But you just gave Chicago, and we brought up this point on the Raw Post Show the other day. You gave Chicago all the bells and whistles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, this is the last matchup, the last pay-per-view quality matchup you're going to get of the weekend before Raw. You've seen everything. You just had a man and a son hit a dude with a lead pipe for 5 minutes.
Quality of parent-child bonding right there.
But you've had all the excitement, and the crowd has seen everything. So by the time they get to this matchup, and this happens often, and this is the one fault of Shayna. Shayna is really good, right? But some of her matches get put in position to not succeed, and sometimes they're not stellar, not because she's not good, because the crowd loses investment at times. And it's part of her offense that the crowd sort of loses it a little bit. She's really good, but you can go back through the takeover matches, and her matches are usually not the match of the night. You lose the crowd a little bit.
The thing with Shayna is Shayna works best when she has a solid, straight baby face to work against. She needs someone that's almost in that underdog role every time to make her really, really work because she's the bully of the situation.
Right, but this had three bullies.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with this, is you have Becky Lynch, who is in a very similar position, not to say that Becky and Shayna wouldn't be really good, because that's a top versus top situation. And who's going to be the ultimate top? That's the question. I feel like you have Bayley versus Shayna. That could be okay on its own, because you have Bayley pretending to be a top, but is actually a bottom, and Shayna's just going to show her the way. Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see. And Bayley would work better if she were face. I think she's still trying to figure out the heel thing, and therefore that kind of caused some chemistry issues a little bit. But the three of them together, it's like you essentially have them all doing the same role and all trying to out-bully, out-top each other. And it just didn't work. Like I said, Becky and Shayna would be okay on their own. Becky and Bailey would be okay on their own. Bailey and Shayna would be okay on their own. Like, any of those matches would be fine. They would be great. They would be stellar. This, with all three of them, was awkward. And once you got two of them alone in the ring together, it was great. It was fine. But all three together, somebody at some point in the match always felt like that really awkward third wheel. And I'm going to honestly say it, it was Bailey a lot. Not that I don't love her. Not that I don't think what she's doing is awesome. But she just, in terms of a strength of character, she's, like I said, she's still trying to figure this out. Becky at this point has this down. She knows who she is. She knows what she's doing. She's extremely confident in her presentation. Shayna is the same way. Shayna's got it. Shayna knows. Bailey debuted this character a month ago. She's still sorting it out. And honestly, a lot of Bailey's character change has relied on Sasha. And without Sasha there, it doesn't work as well.
Also, it involves doing heel tactics. In a match where Shayna's the more dominant heel, you really can't pull off the dominant heel tactics.
Exactly. So I feel like it was a little bit of a misstep to have all three of them in the same match together. Technically, it was fine, but this should have gone elsewhere on the card.
Also, it kind of felt like the way they booked it and the way they set it up, you were expecting something to happen. You were expecting a big moment. You were expecting either after Shayna won, someone else to show up, the horsewomen like to show up, or Ronda Rousey to show up, some sort of big angle. Like, to me, going into this matchup, okay, I thought Bayley was going to win for the simple fact it would have tied up SmackDown and NXT. So you could do like a surprise final match. You bring out Finn Balor for NXT, and you bring out someone for bring out The Miz for SmackDown, and have them battle for the finals, the win. Like, you could have done something special, and it just came off flat. Becky putting Shayna through the table at the end didn't do much. It set the crowd home happy, but it just wasn't that big moment you were expecting.
Well, Becky beating up Shayna and putting Shayna through the table, that's when you're like, something's going to happen. Something's getting ready to happen, especially with the way that they were shooting it, with the way that Becky was acting, because Becky kept looking back up at the ramp. And I don't know whether she was screwing with everybody or what, but it's like Becky keeps looking back up at the ramp. They're keeping it super tight in on Becky, and you're waiting for something else to happen. Like you said, like for the other two horsewomen to show up, and then you have, you know, all three girls, or you have Charlotte come out, and then you have three of the horsewomen. Like, Bailey walks off, and maybe Sasha and Charlotte, or Charlotte comes out to help Becky, and, you know, Bailey walks off, and you have Charlotte and Becky take out the other two horsewomen for the finale, and then you kind of start teasing that, because they've always talked about doing that. And how to reunite those four.
Right. So
that didn't happen. You had, you know, then it's like, well, Rhonda could be coming back. You know, I think she said publicly that she's done trying to have kids. So she's going to come back and try to do wrestling if she can. So it's like, well, is Rhonda going to show up? Because she's gotten active again. And that didn't happen. So it's like, so what's coming? And the end was, it was nothing. It was just like last night on Raw. You kept waiting for something to happen.
And nothing happened. And
nothing came.
That was a letdown.
And that's kind of how this show ended, where it was like, it was a really great show all the way through. They had super strong matches all the way through. And then you got to this, and you got to the close of the show, and it just felt flat. It just felt really flat, where you sat here for a minute and you're like, that was it? That's it? That's how it ends? Becky Lynch stands tall, and that's wonderful, but it just felt like something else was supposed to happen, and it never did. And I don't know if something was supposed to happen and they decided not to do it, because right after this was the Austin Taker interview. So it's like, did they not want to overshadow that? You know, because it's like, I would have thought at least a Taker would have shown up.
Something. But you were expecting some sort of big moment, we didn't get it.
We didn't get it. And so because of that, it kind of left a little bit of a bad taste, I think, in a lot of people's mouths. But the show overall was stellar. It was really good. It was really entertaining. A lot of the matches were fantastic. People went out there and poured their hearts out in the ring, and we got some wonderful results because of it. Like I said, putting NXT on the show was absolutely the right call. Because I feel like if this had just been Raw versus SmackDown, it would have been just another average show. putting NXT in there added a different level, because I told Rock this, it's interesting. You look at the NXT wrestlers and you look at the main roster wrestlers, not that it's main roster anymore, but I don't know what else to call them.
Third brand,
whatever. And so you can see how hungry and how motivated the NXT talent is versus the Raw and SmackDown talent. How much they want to be there, how much they're trying, where there's almost a complacency between Raw and SmackDown versus NXT. And you see it even in someone like Charlotte or Becky or Bayley or anybody else that's kind of come up from NXT. They've been there for a while. They're complacent. They're good because they're assured of their spot. NXT, they're still hungry. They want to be there. They want to get to that spotlight and they're fighting for it. And I feel like NXT pushed on the Raw and SmackDown talent to do better, because it's like, look, we're here now and we want this just as much as you do. Maybe we want it more. What are you going to do about it? And I think that's what made the show better. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, it was. I don't disagree. They added first time matchups that you wouldn't have seen otherwise, because let me just scroll up into the notes. Rollins looking at Reigns. Orton Corbin. Like, it wasn't those big moments, but when you had a Riddle versus Orton, Riddle, Walter versus Stones, McIntyre, Keith Lee versus Roman, or Keith Lee versus Rollins, you went, oh, I want to see that. It gave you stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, and this is where I hate the brand split so much, because it's like the odds of us getting it, unless it happens at something like WrestleMania, are really, really, really slim to nil. Just because everybody's going to go back to their respective brands, and that's going to be it. And we're not going to get another cross-branded event until we get like Royal Rumble or we get WrestleMania. So, and that's what makes it special, is you don't get it all the time.
That's what I was going to say. It also makes the brand split worth it, because it gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah, but it doesn't make me hate it any less, because I want it now. I don't want to wait till Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I want it now. I wanted it last night, actually. Or Monday night, I should say. Like, come on.
So, go ahead.
Just do the thing. I know they're still there.
The 8-ball went 3-5. I went 4-4. You went 5-3.
Hey! Go me.
Also, before we go, do you still hate us yet, Brent? Do you hate us? Just saying. Have you enjoyed this show, Brent? Just saying. Because let's talk about that Tegan Nox thing one more time.
Yeah, because she actually put out a statement after this weekend, I think on Monday, where she's like, I'm fine. I just need to rest emotionally and physically. It always hurts worse when it's someone that's family.
But I will get my answers.
I'm sorry. I have to say this. I have to. Because I've seen all the posts going out about it. And it's just like, why would Dakota Kai, hypothetically, poor Brent.
No, hypothetically. It happened.
It happened. Why would Dakota Kai do such a thing? Again, if you did not hear the TakeOver recap, I'm just going to say this. Because we're not talking NXT this week. Tegan and Candice, especially, walked away from Dakota when Rhea Ripley chose them and basically said that Dakota is worthless and she's not a fighter and she's not interested in using Dakota at all. They were all like, girl, bye. They picked up Mia Yim and then off they went to the races, and there's poor Dakota just like trailing behind them. So I'm sorry, I'm not mad at Dakota Kai. I can't be mad at Dakota Kai, because it's like, honestly, girl was just getting her payback. That's all she was doing. Like, she has every right to be pissed, because instead of defending her to Rhea, like a true friend or family would, they just let Rhea kick her out and replace her with Mia Yim. Just saying. I feel like Dakota is just a little bit justified. Just a smidge. Maybe not kicking her friend 36 times in the reconstructed knee justified.
But she was justified.
I mean, you know, she was. But yeah, we'll see where that goes on NXT. Very, very curious about that. But overall, an entertaining weekend. An entertaining series of shows.
It was. But I think that does it for the gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble.
Yeah, I think Rock and I, depending on what time it is, we're going to go have a little bit more turkey, and start looking at some Black Friday specials.
Yeah, I've spent some money. I'm going to spend more. It's a thing. Make sure. Help support us by subscribing to us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive. You have that Amazon Prime account. Link is your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can save my wallet from Black Friday. Do the thing. Or use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop, because every penny counts. There's some nice things from Black Friday. Anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. Reasons. But hey, Lindsay. Did you know Saturday night, it's a decade plus two?
Is it?
It's a decade plus two!
Wow!
For CB Radio, 12 years.
Wow,
that's a long time.
That's crazy.
So, we'll celebrate Saturday night midnight at crazygreatdebate.com, crealife.com. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, where every finger counts.
Oh, that's mean. It's so mean! Funny, but mean! Oh my god!
If you like his pictures, just add him at Flamesforms. Monday night's World Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We've been plugging throughout the shows. You can check out the Rack Extra reviews. Mayor Kane, probably available now. Depending when you listen to this, the review will be available. The book is out now. Also, the Ninja book, the most dangerous game, will be available on December 3rd. Our review will come next week. We'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow us on Twitch, as mentioned, twitch.tv/WTRLive, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Rec Radio Show on Facebook, shut up, Siri, Rec Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're on Spotify, all that fun stuff.
What was Siri saying to you?
I don't know. Tell me to unlock my iPad.
Oh, dear. All right. You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. Check that out. Want to give a quick shout out to everybody listening to this. Thank you so much for tuning into the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special. Again, I hope everybody has had a wonderful holiday if you celebrate it. And if not, I hope you have a fantastic Thursday and a great Friday, because, you know, Fridays are awesome. And if you're going out for Black Friday, please be respectful for your other shoppers. Turn your phone horizontal if a fight breaks out before you put that on social. We need the wide angle.
Yeah.
Just saying. I mean, don't get into fights, y'all. Seriously. But, you know, if one does break out in front of you, horizontal. Get the horizontal shot.
By the way, Siri heard Twitter, Instagram on Spotify. That's what Siri heard. That's what Siri heard.
Siri's trying to help, man. She's
make sure you get
like
us
that.
On Spotify. Thanks, Siri.
Thanks, Siri. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Everybody check out mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. If you're listening to this on Thursday morning or afternoon, we don't know if there will be Fortnite with Friends on Thursday night.
But there will be Saturday.
There will be Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern for sure, but Thanksgiving night, it all kind of depends on how sober everybody is, and by everybody, I mean me, and how awake we all are. So just stay tuned to the Twitters for Fortnite with Friends information, and we'll let you know. But till then, I'm Lindsay Ward. He's Rock. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special. We will see you all live next week. Till then, bye! Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.